Everybody, welcome back to the press. It's our third episode of the week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about the LPGA's Ford Championship in Chandler, Arizona. We're going to talk a little bit about the Hero Indian Open on the DP World Tour. Our second look at DLF Golf and Country Club this week. It's kind of an insane thing to say. And then we'll touch a little bit on Masters Futures at the end. Just a couple of guys to wet your whistle and start thinking about that as one of the indicators that we use we'll go over at the very end of this. Shorter episode today, probably 10, 12 minutes, but just kind of wanted to get you through these last couple of tournaments and thoughts for the week. So let's get into the Ford Championship on the LPGA. This is their first domestic event since, the end of January? So basically 2 months. So for a lot of players, the ones that didn't play in the Asian swing, they have a lot of ring rust. And I think that's something the double, triple underscore this week. It's going to be really hard for a player that hasn't played recently to win. Anyone who hasn't played basically over in Asia whatsoever, good luck to you, because you probably have not had much opportunity to compete. Whirlwind Golf Club hosts. Nelly Kord is the defending champion. We're in the kind of Phoenix-ish area. Par 72 golf course. Opened in 2000, so well past the kind of brutish version of desert golf, so pretty playable. A little bit long, though, 66-61. You'll notice that scorecard lengths are getting a little bit bigger on the LPGA this year. Last one was in, the 6,700 range. It's really interesting to see they've lengthened some courses a little bit. $2.25 million purse, $337,500 to the winner. They pay 15% to the winner compared to 18% on the PGA Tour and 17% on the DP World Tour. What's interesting also is that after the winner on the LPGA, all the players pay, it's basically a 6% administrative fee of the purse back to the LPGA. It's kind of how it funds itself. So that's why those numbers change when the number of players who makes the cut changes, because those discounts happen. So it is interesting how the effect of that happens. Just a little bit of minutia there. All right, let's look at the betting odds. The top 25 on the table I think I have here for the week. Gino Tittical is 15-2, 7.5-1. She's already won this year. She won on the LET. Played very good golf. She's probably the best player that's played most actively so far this year. Nelly has not, right? She didn't really play in Asia. So we don't know a lot about where her game is right now. That's why, in part, she's 8-1, just the track record this year thing. Lydia Ko won in their last start, 14-1. Worth continuing to look at. Erica Ferrue, who just gained strokes like mad, 16-1. Charlie Hall, Heyram Rue, Jin Young Ko, 22-1. Ryo Takeda, who's already won this year, now a 2-time winner on the circuit, 25-1. She won the Blue Bay. Miyu Yamashita, who just rates out very well, 28-1, and is going to be a star on this tour eventually. Ronnie Yin and Yelimi No are 30-1. Link Grant, Nasa Hataoka, 33-1 each. I think you're going to see some folks take Link Grant, but I also, and we don't even have this number up here. You've got Maya Stark, who's really struggling out there, like a 300-1 number. I think she's interesting to play this week, not because I think she's going to win, but because we noticed this in our group chat for the LPGA 6, folks who have been talking about the LPGA betting odds, every single week of the season, even when they're not playing. We look this week and go, wait a second, this is out of place. This doesn't make sense. You've got someone like Alexa Pano, who struggles as a putter, but has a good tee to green game. She's 600-1 this week, just hasn't played a ton. I don't get it. And I think that is maybe indicative of some weakness in the market. Maybe there's just not a lot of action on this. I mean, there's not a high handle in the LPGA as it is, but you're getting Angel Yun, who's already won this year at 35-1, a long hitter who plays desert golf. Sign me up. I'll take 35-1. Aki Iwai, she's played great this year. 40-1. Sign me up. I'll take her. Then you've got Carlotta Segonda, who opened at closer to 100-1 at some shops. And I think, again, this is a low handle market, so the sharp people, the folks know who the sharps are in the LPGA market, that she got bet down super fast from 100 to 50. Didn't take very long. Hannah Green at 50-1 feels like an auto play to me, because her odds are, those are disrespectful odds to a player that's good tee to green. Just saying. And then Se-Young Kim kind of interests me, but I did look into her numbers, not playing as well as I thought. Let's look at the LPGA model for this week. Again, the full list is available for our members at golfnewsnet.com. I don't think any of this is particularly surprising to anybody. Nelly Korda, Gino Tittical, Ronnie Kim, Aki Iwai, Ayaka Furue, Charlie Hall. I hate her price. 22-1. Lynn Grant, more interesting price. Yamashita, I think, is the right play. Jin Young Ko and Lydia Ko. Now you might go, well, Lydia just won and she had a great year last year. Why is she 10th? And the reason is long-term model. 23 stunk. 22 was great comeback year. 23 was a bad year. 24 was a great year. So far, 25 is a good year. Good to great, right? You're already a winner. So it ups and downs kind of even out. That's why we do long-term thinking in our model. You look at 1 and 2 year windows, kind of evaluate players. We have 1 year of the four championship. Nelly Korda is the defending champion. I do find it hard again to bet longer players this week. I think you want to stay in that probably 50-1 in short range. And maybe you go get a Alexa Pano. I picked Manon Devroy, who's already won on the Ladies European Tour. I think it was in her last start. So she's playing pretty well. She has some limited status here, so she can go back and forth. 100, 110-1. And then probably staying with Hannah Green, Angel Yin, and Miyu Yamashita or Aki Iwai. We'll call it a day there. You want to get over to the Hero Indian Open on the DP World Tour. $2.25 million purse this week. This is played at DLF Golf and Country Club. We saw this earlier this year for the Asian Tour International Series in India. And that was an interesting week. Ali Snyderjans won. If you look at the history of this event at DLF, it's one of the most intimidating golf courses to play on the planet. I mean, it's just bad news everywhere. On a 7,400-year-old golf course, I'm pretty sure Gary Player was very angry what he designed. Lots of unconventional looks, weird rock fields, kind of bamboo-ish looking facing on the bunkers. They're super deep. It's just, it's a lot to take in. My perspective on this tournament is you're going to get a very random top 10. And I've looked at it for 3 or 4 years. Very random top 10. And that happens anyway. On the DP World Tour, it's going to look especially random this week because there is no formula for success, I don't think, other than a strong mental game and someone who just seems to be kind of okay playing this golf course. And that tends to be an older player. He doesn't worry about hitting as far, worries about keeping it in play, controlling the things that they can control because they can't control distance. They're not as far as their peers. That said, I have 3 picks for this week for this event. Yaos Luiten, who's played well here, 28-1. Pablo Larrazabal, who's played very well here at 60-1. And Yannick Paul, who's the younger German, has played well here twice. Runner-up finish. He's had a chance to win. Seems comfortable playing here. He's not having the best year. I mean, really, none of these guys are. But one thing they have in common is they seem to be comfortable here. And I think, above all else, comfort this week, which is something you can't measure, is something you should reflect in your bet. So those are the 3 guys I'm looking at. I'm not going to touch the Gallery Classic on the Champions Tour yet. I don't really see a lot of value in that market. Had Stephen Alker playing great. Had Ernie Els playing well. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I just don't see the value there right now. Well, as we get more in the year, get more data, okay, fine. I'm willing to look at more Champions Tour stuff. But that's just not a market I'm willing to touch. I am rooting like hell for Greg Chalmers to win. I was hoping he would have won the Kolhegaard Classic. Didn't get there, but I do like his chances as well. I do like the lefty's chances there. All right, just a few final thoughts to wrap up. I want to talk about a couple of Masters futures, guys that I am putting some money to work on now, because there's a metric that really goes into this, and there are slightly different variations on this. But really, all you want to look at is guys who are gaining 1.5 strokes either per round in the aggregate or tee to green. You could look either way. I would look in total because you're going to get a slightly bigger sample size. But if you look at basically the last 20 Masters played, 18 of the last 20 Masters champions have been above that 1.5 strokes gained in aggregate over the last 3 months, over the season to date, over the year to date. And there are not many of them, right? So if you're looking at this list, these are 3 of those guys. You add in Tommy Fleetwood. You could add in Rory McIlroy. Throw in Scottie Scheffler, although you have limited results for him, but obviously likes the Masters. You don't even need to have him on the list for that reason. And then you could throw in Joaquin Niemann, who's played well on LIV, but you would also immediately throw him out because he has basically 0 good major championship finishes. So why is it about to start now? I think you could throw in Bryson DeChambeau, but again, his number's not so good. You got 3 guys here. 2 of the major champions at decent numbers. Morikawa will probably get shorter as people start to think about that pool of guys that fit that list. Again, there's like seven of them. So he's probably getting close, going to get closer to 14 or 12 to 1, especially if he plays well next week. He's playing next week based on what I saw from the commitments list. You got Shane Lowry, who's just playing great golf. I know I overbet Shane Lowry, but 35 to 1, I think makes a lot of sense. And Sepp Strack has had an incredible year, and he's going to get shorter. I promise you, people are going to go peel through the data. This is the most publicly bet tournament in golf, period, end of story. People will pour through the numbers. There'll be 25 more people, times people than usual, who are betting on this tournament, who are analyzing this tournament, and they'll start going, oh, I found this guy. His name's Sepp Straka, and you should bet him. And then it's going to be 45 to 1 like that. You're going to lose your value edge here. I don't think you should bet anyone beyond 75 to 1, even though I keep saying we're kind of due for really random major championship stuff to happen. We haven't had that happen in about 20 years, a little bit more than 20 years. This altruism tends to hold a lot. Really does. To the point where of all the analysis I typically do ahead of the Masters, and we'll do all the full episodes and stuff that we usually do, I throw a lot of that out the window and I just look at that list of guys and go, I'm betting them. Everything else is fine. And then if you want to take live guys, and we'll talk about this later, you basically have to be in the top 10 after the first round or you don't win in the last 30 years. So if I don't have those guys, I round it out with them. Simple as that. And it's an easy strategy. It's a winning strategy. You may not win huge unless you get lucky on some of these big numbers ahead of time. But that's the strategy. So start thinking about these guys now. Start thinking about the guys on that list. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But I promise you, these numbers are going to get shorter quicker. So get on them as fast as you can. That's going to do it for us this week here on The Press. Thank you so much for watching. I appreciate it. Enjoy the show as an audio-only podcast. Catch on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. We also have a YouTube channel called Golf News Net Radio that's just the audio versions of these shows. You can just catch it if you're going on a run, going to the gym, whatever, listening on your Apple CarPlay, whatever, however you want to do it, you can do it that way. Or you can subscribe to the video version on our YouTube channel, which is Golf News Net. This show is available, like all of our lineup, on GNN TV, which is available on the Golf News Net app for Roku, and then we're streaming on Zeem, Free Life Sports, and Freecast, plus more platforms and more news on that coming soon. And join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our tools, everything we do every week. We do it every single week of the year for the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour, as well as our other picks and models. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for catching us this week. Good luck on all your bets this week, and we'll talk to you next week on The Press.